God it'll never lose its power. Thank God it'll never lose its power. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now with hearts full of thanksgiving for what you have done for us. And we pray now that our worship around your word would be acceptable in your sight. Bless the word as it goes forth. May it find fertile ground in our hearts and minds, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was the 2015 Pepsi Invitational track meet. The race is the steeplechase. And Oregon's senior Tanjay Pepiat ran much of the race in the middle of the pack. They were all bunched together, and as he clears the final hurdle with about 500 meters left, he takes off. And he has what is seemingly an insurmountable lead. But watch what happens.
Take my word for it, there's a moral to this story.
Yeah, it looked like a coronation for Tanjay Pepiat. He's getting the crowd. He wants the crowd to cheer his performance. And at the end, he gets pipped. He gets pipped by Maren Simon of Washington. And you just can't do this kind of stuff, Lewis.
You can't. And you see his face, and you know no one has to say anything. They don't have to explain it to him. He'll never make that mistake again.
Tanjay Pepiat is running, and you saw him. He's excited. He's got this lead that he believes is insurmountable. And he starts waving the crowd on, trying to hype up the crowd. And the crowd is getting louder and louder. As a matter of fact, he said in a later interview, when the crowd started cheering, he thought they were cheering for him. He didn't realize that they were cheering for the man who was in second place, Maren Simon. Maren Simon is running, and Maren Simon even said, I thought it was be impossible for me to catch up with him. And as I began to run faster and faster, I noticed that I was gaining ground, and I said to myself, he must not know I'm coming. Now, here's what's important for you to understand. Sanjay Pepiat lost the race, not because of how he started the race, not because of his strategy in running the race, and not because he couldn't finish the race. He lost the race because he lost his focus. He became more concerned with a cheering crowd than crossing the finish line. My brothers and sisters, somebody listening today, you need to remember that you are running a race called life. You are running this race, and the question is not are you running, but how well are you running your race? And here's the sad truth. There are times in life when we start off real strong, but because of things that happen in life, life just be lifing, and you end up getting to a place where you end up fading. You may get to a place where you just get tired, maybe sick and tired of being tired. And so the challenge before us now is, how well will you run your race, and will you run your race well until you finish? I'm not talking about the race of life totally, because somebody may say, well, I'm doing pretty good and, you know, I got plenty of time left. No, I'm talking about the seasons that you're running in life, the episodes that you go through in life, the times that you go through in life. Can you stay consistently faithful? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which cling so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is what? Set before us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. God wants you to learn how to be faithful when you run your race of life. He wants you to be not a fair weather Christian, but a faith-filled Christian. He wants you to keep that finishing faith so that you can keep living to the glory of God. So here's the question for you today. Do you have a faith that remains focused so you can survive difficult situations and tough times? Do you have a faith that will keep you going on when you feel like giving up? Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to stay faithful until you finish. How to stay faithful until you finish. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, you can get a fill in the blank outline at our app. Go wherever you get your apps, or you can go to our website, goodhope.org. We've been walking over the last several weeks through 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David is proclaimed to be the king of Israel. When we get to 2 Samuel chapter 6, David now goes on a quest, a mission to return the Ark of God back to its rightful place in the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he makes his way there, but something happens. He goes there to retrieve the Ark of God from Abinadab's house, and he goes with 30,000 warriors, 30,000 soldiers, and they go prepared for war. And the Bible says when they are transporting the Ark of God, the Ark of God begins to wobble because the oxen who was pulling the Ark on a cart stumbled at Nacon's threshing floor. The text says the Ark began to wobble. Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the Ark to make sure it didn't hit the ground. And the Bible says when he touched it, he died. Because Uzzah, whose name means strength in yourself, decided his hand was cleaner than the ground. David was angry and afraid because David didn't realize his intentions did not override a failure to follow God's instructions. And there's somebody in here right now, you are living your life far below where God wants you because you live your life always making excuses around your intentions. And God says you've got to learn how to follow instructions. The text says he leaves the Ark of God at Obed-Edom's house for 90 days. And he realizes when he gets a report that Obed-Edom and his house have been blessed abundantly, that there was nothing wrong with the Ark of God. It was everything wrong with him following or not following instructions in moving the Ark. He goes back and the Bible says he moves it now the right way because instead of taking warriors to move the Ark, he takes worshipers to move the Ark. And they come, the Levites, and they move the Ark as it is to be moved. They take 6 steps, and the Bible says they began to rejoice and they began to shout. And now David, on his way, 10 miles, 25,000 steps, on their way to Jerusalem, David gives us a picture of how to stay faithful until you finish. My brothers and sisters, one of the hard lessons I've learned in life is if you want to guarantee failure, quit along the way. If you don't finish what you start, you are guaranteed to quit and you are guaranteed to fail. You've got to see your way through to the end of your journey. 3 things I want you to see real quick right here in the text that I hope and pray will help you to learn how to stay faithful until you finish. Here's the first thing. Number one, you can stay faithful until you finish by making worshiping God personal. By making worshiping God personal. Watch what the text says. Verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly tunic. Go down to verse 16, the B part. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. David not only blessed God as he left Obed-Edom's house, but the text says he worshiped the Lord as he made his way to Jerusalem with the ark. Last week, we talked about the blessings of on-the-way worship, right? How they worship God, because many times we want to wait to give God glory once we arrive, and we don't understand that we encourage ourselves and those who are around us when we learn how to worship on the way. The text says that David now is coming into Jerusalem. Notice what the text says. He is wearing a priestly tunic. Before, he was wearing armor of warfare. Now he wears a priest garb because now he comes as a worshiping king, not a warring king. Sometimes we need to learn that there comes a point in life when you don't need to fight, you need to worship. You need to exercise faith in God instead of trying to exercise faith in yourself. Maybe I'm only talking to myself this morning. But man, listen, you get to fighting and you will exhaust yourself. And then after you have exhausted yourself, you'll be talking about, Lord, if I ever needed you before, I sure do. God, if you don't step in, and I'm telling you, you got to learn how to start with God and not come to God as a last resort. David worships the Lord. Here's what's interesting. It's almost as if David says, if nobody else is going to give God glory, I'm going to give God glory. And God doesn't worship for his wife, Michal, who had contempt for her husband as he worshiped. God didn't worship for the people in the palace. God didn't worship for the applause of the people who were on the way. He made sure his worship of God was personal, because he knew that his personal worship was an example to other people. Who worships because you worship? Who's impacted because of your commitment to God? I was reminded of a story of a man who testified about how God changed his life. And he said he was laying on the couch one Sunday, and his wife came in. His wife was a religious woman, an avid churchgoer. And he and his son were sitting in there watching television. And his wife asked if her husband was going to go to church on this Sunday. And he said, no, nah, I'm going to stay right here. I'm good. And then she asked her son, her young son, if he wanted to go to church with mommy. And he said, his son responded, said, no, ma'am, I want to stay here and go to hell with daddy. He said the words pierced his heart because he realized that laying there, he was setting an example for his son to follow that he didn't want. My brothers and my sisters, too many of us need to understand that and don't understand that faithfulness at the finish line requires personal devotion along the way. If your worship depends on who's watching, it will fade when criticism comes. To finish faithful, you must decide, my worship is between me and God. Look at Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. There's got to be some meanness in your worship before there's some we-ness in your worship. Because you can't export what you haven't imported. You can't take anybody where you haven't been yourself. So when you think about your children and your grandchildren and what they're doing and not doing, and blaming them for what they're doing and not doing, look in the mirror and check the example you set for them. Because if you're more Christian on Sunday for an hour and a half than you are the rest of the week, that might be why they are the way they are. They've just cut out pretending one day a week. Joshua 24, 15, let's read it together. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose the day whom you will serve, Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I told you, number one, you've got to make sure you are worshiping God personally or individually. Secondly, you can stay faithful until you finish by worshiping God passionately or intensely. Passionately. Watch what the text says, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. Look at verse 16, the B part. King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. The ark started its journey with death, but now it's ending its journey into Jerusalem with dancing. And the text says David danced before the Lord, and he danced with all his might. Now, this word for dance in the Hebrew literally refers to a movement that entails whirling around, twirling around. So if you think of, for example, Middle Eastern dancing and pentatonic music, and you think about how people are responding, he is whirling and he is doing it with great force and great strength. And the text says that he danced mightily. Now, there are those who have erroneously used this to say David danced out of his clothes, as if he danced his clothes off. He didn't dance his clothes off. He danced his clothes open. Think about that day and time where men wore garments in layers, and as they moved, those layers moved. And if they moved too much or moved the wrong way, or they stayed when they were supposed to go, some things might be exposed. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Let me see if I can make it more plain for you. Ladies, if you have ever worn a wrap dress or a wrap skirt and you wrap the fabric around you, you know you want to wrap it carefully and you want to tie the knot securely. And you want to make sure you're not standing downwind. Because if the wind blows the wrong way, that which is to be private will become public. Some of y'all will get that on 288. The point is, David danced in a way that he was unconcerned about the opinions of others. You've heard the phrase, sing like nobody's listening and dance like nobody's watching. And that's what David exemplified, a passion around his worship of God. Think about the fans at a championship game. We just watched the National Football Championship, the NCAA game against Indiana and Miami, and those fans were going crazy in that stadium, right? Think about fans at the Super Bowl are going to go crazy. Seattle fans and New England Patriot fans are going to go absolutely crazy. You know what I've noticed when I've gone to a game? Nobody has to know the other person to cheer with them. You see folk who don't even and wouldn't like each other outside of the stadium, high-fiving and hugging each other over a touchdown or a basket in an arena. And David wants us to understand that worship must be unrestrained, because if worship is restrained, it is a sign of a lack of gratitude. David was worshiping in that moment, watch this, but he remembered where God had brought him from. He remembered when he was a shepherd boy taking care of his father's sheep, and they brought every one of the strong, strapping brothers to be anointed with oil, and the oil would not flow. And you remember the prophet said to his daddy, listen, you've got to have another son, because God said that your seed was going to be the next king on the throne. And he said, well, there's only one left, little runt out there. He out there taking care of the sheep. And the prophet said, bring him in. And when David came in, the oil flowed. And the text says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And somebody in here, your worship might just be tainted because you have not remembered where God has brought you from. You acting like you always been where you've been. I was talking to some people this past week, and we were just reminiscing on them good old poor days. You know, them good old poor days. Vienna sausage and potted meat days. Rat cheese days. Come on here, summer sausage days, y'all. Yeah, Spam days, y'all. Fried bologna when the bubble comes up in the middle and cut the end. See, some of y'all above that now, I understand. Because y'all have forgotten. You have forgotten when your bowl was a recycled Cool Whip container that still had some stains in it when your mama put the tomato sauce and the leftover spaghetti. You have forgotten where God has brought you from. David remembered how the Lord kept him, how the Lord made a way for him, how the Lord gave him another chance. And the text said he was passionate in his worship. He didn't care what anybody thought or anybody said. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. Y'all do me a favor. Inhale and exhale. All right, you qualify. He says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Need to serve God with some passion. I don't care what you do. Serve God with some passion. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you can stay faithful until you finish by worshiping God purposely. Purposely. Intentionally. Intentionally. Watch what the text says. Verse 17, they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. They brought it, placed it in a place that David had already prepared. There was intentionality in David's worship. Listen, you cannot finish well if your worship of God is haphazard, accidental, and unintentional. Okay, let me put a cord in the meat and park here for a second. If all your worship is encompassed in an hour and 15 minutes, give you an hour and a half. If that's all your worship for the week, your walk is going to be up and down and more down than up. You have to be intentional. Just like you are intentional about coming to the church, you got to be intentional. Why? Because worship is not an event to attend. It's a lifestyle to live. And God wants you to be intentional every day of your life. Just like you're intentional about grooming yourself, just like you're intentional about going to work, just like you're intentional about doing things in your life, God says, add worship of me to that list of intentional activity. How's your prayer life? How's your time in the Word, right? How's your time meditating on the goodness of God in your life? He says, you got to be intentional. Have you reserved a place of worship for God in your life? Not geographical, but emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. Have you set aside a time when you are going to make sure that you are intentional about worshiping God? Because here's why it's important. Just one reason. But there's a whole lot more reasons. But let me just give you one. When you're intentional by worshiping God, that worship reminds you of who God is. And when you're reminded of who God is, you also come to grips with who you are and who you are not. And when you worship God and you remind yourself that he's a God who is great and greatly to be praised, when you recognize that he is an almighty God, when you recognize that he's a God who has never lost a case, when you recognize that he's a God who can make a way out of no way, watch this, your worship of God encourages you through your difficulties and your challenging times. A builder builds a house, but they don't accidentally finish the house. Every beam, every nail, every measurement is made with intentionality. And finishing well is always on purpose. David didn't just worship emotionally, he worshiped directionally. He placed the ark where God instructed it to be. Emotional worship without obedience is incomplete worship. Faithfulness to the finish line requires intentional obedience, not impulse. God is not concerned about your intentions when you don't follow his instructions. Watch what the text says, Colossians 3, 23 to 24, and then I'm going to get ready to let you go. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. You mad at people when you're really supposed to be working for God. You upset at a supervisor, at a coworker who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you have forgotten that you're not focusing on what you're supposed to be doing. That's being light and salt wherever you are, so that God is glorified in every situation you find yourself in. Faithfulness isn't just about how you start, it's about how you finish. David stayed faithful because his worship was personal. David stayed faithful because his worship was passionate. David stayed faithful because his worship was purposeful. And somebody today, I want you to leave here realizing that God expects personal commitment from you. Don't look around at anybody else. Don't talk about it. God says, no, look in your mirror. He wants personal commitment. He wants passionate commitment, and he wants purposeful commitment. If you're going to finish well, God says you need to realize you don't worship for the applause of people. You don't live for the approval of other people, but you need to live for the approval of God. You don't worship to be seen. You don't lift your voice to be heard by somebody else, because he is the audience of one. Have I got a witness here? And if you stay faithful, God will meet you there, because he's a faithful God and he needs you to be a faithful servant. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Keep on serving. Keep on worshiping. Keep on praying. Keep on reading, so you can see what the end will be. Because God wants you to glorify him regardless of what you go through. God wants you to lift him high even in your lowest valley. God wants you to bless him when your heart is heavy. God wants you to choose to worship him. Choose to praise him. Choose to love him. Choose to adore him, because he's a way-making God. Have I got a witness here? He's a miracle-working God. He's a promise-keeping God. He's a light in the darkness God. And he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think. And when you make a commitment to worship him, you remind yourself of the awesomeness of our God. When you worship him, you stop telling God how big your problems are. And you start telling your problems how big your God is. Yeah. Because worship reminds you that he is an awesome God. Father, we bless you and thank you for today. I pray now that somebody would leave here, maybe discouraged, maybe frustrated, maybe at the place where they feel like giving up. God, I want to encourage them today to look to the hills. The question was asked, from whence comes our help? Help them to realize our help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. Help us, God, to take our eyes and our focus off of the things around us and to look above us. To recognize that, God, you are too wise to make a mistake, and you haven't brought us this far to leave us now. You're still working on us, molding us and shaping us into what you want us to be. God, we can praise you, if for nothing else, progress. We're not where we want to be, but God, we can look back and see, thank you, we're not what we used to be. You're still molding and still shaping us. And God, I pray that as we leave this place, your spirit and your word will produce great fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. As Reverend Bill comes, those of you who are watching, if you would like special prayer, the gladiators are in the chat. And that just gives you an opportunity on the digital platform to indicate, I want somebody to pray with me. I want to pray about a specific matter. Maybe you want them to show you how to ask Christ into your life, or maybe you want to become part of our church family, or you just want somebody to touch and agree with you. Use the QR code on the screen. Or just put in the chat, I want to pray with somebody right now. I want somebody to pray with me. And the gladiators would be happy to minister to you on Zoom, face to face, to be able to minister to you. For those of you who are hearing the sound of my voice, as Reverend Bell comes to give the invitation, would you stand if you can, wherever you are? And I want to give those of you an opportunity to say yes to God. Here's what I want you to know. When we see the life of King David, we know the glory, but we don't necessarily know the story. Let me just give you one reason why David could worship like he did. David learned firsthand that he's a God of another chance. You remember when they tried to move the ark and they moved it the wrong way? 3 months passed, and God gave David another chance to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Now, I don't say he gave him a second chance, because I want all of us to know most of us have blown through that second and third chance. We on another and another and another. But the good news is he's a God of another chance. And when David thought about another chance, after seeing his nephew struck dead, he saw another chance. And David couldn't help but praise God for another chance. I want somebody to leave here today rejoicing. You may not get it all today. It may come to you tomorrow. It may come to you tonight when you lay down. And the Holy Ghost will bring back that chance that you forgot about, that God gave you another chance. You know, when you thought it was going to be yes and it was no, or you thought the test was going to be positive and it was negative, right? And God gave you, you remember that time you was praying and you said, Lord, if you get me out of this, woo, you ain't never got to worry about me again. And you went right back in that same kind of situation. and the Lord brought you out again. He said, there's enough stuff in your past to fuel all your praise in your present. If you just think at how far the Lord has brought you.
Our pastor reminds us that we serve a God of another chance. And oftentimes that chance means that we come to him weary, heavy laden, and burdened down. And we come to him in many, many ways all messed up. But the God we serve, the God who sent Christ to die for us, he's welcoming you to come just as you are, messed up, weary, confused. And he's saying to you today that if you come to him, you're going to find rest for your weary soul. Somebody needs to find some rest today. Somebody needs to give up today and give it to God. Somebody today needs to say, I've been running long enough. I need to run to God with your mess. God will take you just as you are and give you another chance. So we give you an opportunity now to come just as you are. God is inviting you right now. Don't pass up the opportunity. The year has just started here. We're in February. You got time. Don't be blaming it on the new year. No, come right now. Because God is seeking you. This word today that we've heard today from our pastor is speaking to somebody upstairs and downstairs. Somebody heard this today. Come now. We invite you to come. We invite you to come. We invite you to come weary. We invite you to come messed up. Come on. God is waiting for you right now. As Minister Taylor sings for us, come on. Come on right now.
You gave me another chance. You forgave.
About you, but when you mess up and you made a big mistake and you hurt someone and you realize it and you go and you ask them to forgive you, you go to them burdened with that problem and they say to you, I forgive you. That's a burden that's lifted off of your shoulders and you feel a whole lot better. I got news for you. Somebody's already forgiven you. You're walking in sin, he's already forgiven you. You've done something to mess something up, he's already forgiven you. You don't have to keep carrying that around. You can come now just as you are. God has forgiven you. Just come now and accept him. If you don't want to come now, you can use the QR code that's on the screen or on the handout. Let us know that you want to come to a saving faith. Let us know that you want to become a member of this church family. But whatever you do today, know that God has forgiven you and he's inviting you to come to him just as you are. You ain't got to clean up, just come like you are. And God is reaching out to you now and will accept you just as you are. We welcome you one more time to come just as you are.
like only
yes,
you
yes,
can.
Yes.
You gave me, oh yes you did, another chance. Oh, you gave me another chance. You forgave me like only you can.
Let us stretch out our hands. God, we come now lifting up our sister and brother, Lord, and we lift them up to you now. And we ask for special blessings on them. We don't know all that's going on, Lord, but we know that they've come now, and we know that the power of the Holy Spirit will help them along the way. We thank you for their courage. We thank you, Lord, that we have a chance to bless them according to your will and your way. So we lift them up to you right now. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Show them some love. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. All right, Brother Deacons, prepare for the offering. Okay, now we're gonna say something, and I know we're gonna have a response. Amen. We had a good response at 8 o'clock, so we're gonna see how you do at 10.